Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. Tonight, I'm joined once again by Chris Coates from North American Open Masters Tree Climbing Competition in Wichita, Kansas. Chris revisits the experience of the tree climbing competition this year and reveals some of his aspirations for the direction of the competition in the future. This is the Arb Life. Fill me in on some of the insights as to the experience and how the competition unfurled.
Yeah, man. So the competition went very well. I can't say better than expected because I knew going in that we were going to have a really great team, just like I have for the past few comps, and the quality of people really does help the events run that much smoother. My quality of people that have had experience with those kinds of events and really just people who are passionate about doing it. So we found ourselves really lucky to be in their hands, so to speak.
I know this is the second year. Has the site changed? My question is, you guys have been working with the city of Wichita. I don't know how has that experience gone as far as working with the local people on the ground and handling everything from that end.
Dude, great question. Thank you for asking that. So that's actually a question that we got from a good few of those reporters that came out there. And yeah, so I was stoked to be able to work with those folks out there in Wichita. They were really, people were surprised, first of all. They were all like, hey, why is it that you're coming to Wichita? What is it about this place? And I'm like, I was just kind of surprised at that question. It worked out that the park really had some great trees. That was our second year doing the event in that park. We really did have the support of the city. The city really wanted to have an event like that to promote tree climbing within Wichita, and they did anything they can do. That Wichita is a great place that really is a happening town. There's a lot of cool stuff to do, and if anybody ever finds themselves traveling out to the Midwest, that Wichita is a really fun place to check out. They've got great food culture, an art culture, and music culture out there. So there's a lot of cool stuff to get into, but that park really just, suited our event well. Great trees that had good, suitable anchors and just made for great climbs out there. But the city was just so stoked. They hooked us up with like 15 picnic tables that were helpful for gear inspection. They hooked us up with trash cans and all the service for that. They cut the grass for us the day before the event. They were just extremely helpful with permitting. Dude, we had to hurry up and get a street shut down like the day before the event that we didn't know about. It was kind of a weird thing, but anyway, worked out that they really expedited a permit for us that we had to get street. We had to get shut down for these fireworks we did.
Right.
Which who's done that, right? Who's ever done fireworks at a tree climbing
park? Yeah, that was definitely spectacular, and it really just had all that that feel of almost like a ball game, after a ball game, midsummer night, long hot summer day, summer night fireworks. I mean, the whole the whole theme of that was really very unique and certainly unlike any event that's happened yet. And it really what I see is this event definitely has a unique quality to it. And I know you guys have worked on that very hard over many years, sort of curtailing that of this event to your own unique style and your own presentation of tree climbing as you see it and as you admire it. And so I have so much respect for what you've done. I know how much hard work goes into it. Dude, the trailer, it looks so awesome.
Yeah.
The logo, the art, and that's another thing I wanted to say was, real quick was, I think it's interesting that you sort of talked about Wichita and the culture and just this happening little town. And I definitely see that reflecting in the competition itself. Even in the art and the design of the logo and the shirts and the whole vibe, it seems to be a very, just such a progressive thing. And just like tree climbing is such a colorful event.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad you mentioned that too, actually. I would say right at the start from when we were planning this second nail, we had this vibe where we're like, dude, because me and Brian, we listen to a lot of electronic music when we climb, and some of the stuff's flowy, some of the stuff is really jazzed up, I don't know, like Skrillex or some dubstep, and then we'll listen to some really flowy stuff, maybe like some Flume or Flying Lotus or something. But so we already had this cool thing that we were doing where we listen to music. So as everyone knows, we do have music playing while we're competing, which is awesome. I think it creates a really cool vibe. But I didn't intend initially for the comp to have so much art involved in it. And then it just started coming together that way almost unintentionally. And then 2/3 of the way, we just started owning it, and we were like, crap, this is way cooler than we ever would have expected. And then Keith Stoner worked on the shirts, and we held that secret for a while that it was going to have the shirts were going to have that Van Gogh Starry Night kind of background there on the shirt. And so that mixed it in really well. And then all the colors and then the wrenches came in and they were blue and just everything was like bright and colorful and just had this really cool art flair. Obviously, then we have the nighttime open ascent with all the lasers and all this sensory stuff going on. Then the fireworks, it made it like a Burning Man event to me. Like,
yeah, dude.
Like that final night, you know, yeah. Like a Burning Night or Burning Man event. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was definitely such a cool effect and so unique. Like I can't say it enough how I just sat there and all, you know, all the stuff was coming on the social media, the pictures and some of the coverage, and yeah, you're just, you know, you're totally blown away to see this thing unfold. You know, maybe talk a little bit. I know that before the event, a lot of sponsorship, a lot of support from some bigger names. And you know, you don't have to be specific because I know, you know, different people provided different stuff, but maybe talk a little bit about the process and the support that you're seeing across the industry come in and, you know, sort of what you expected, what maybe you didn't expect and sort of how that process played out.
Okay. Yeah. So I think as people can tell, I think about, most every company or person that hit us up and said they wanted to be involved with sponsoring the event or supporting the event. At some point I made a nice post for them. And, as things were kind of moving, you know, and I would say, why did that happen? I feel like some of the companies knew me and they knew, and you touched on this a little bit, that I have my own style, my own kind of thought process about how I believe tree climbing should be. I would wish that for anybody, that they would have some type of philosophy.
Right.
They would say, this is my vision. This is how I'd like to do things, I guess you might say. And I think people, they could see that vision and what we're doing. And they were like, you know what? I want to be a part of that too. And I could see myself attached to what you're doing. And I think that's partly, I could say it, if I could be so proud to say that's partly where some of it's come from, is people are wanting to attach themselves to where we're seeing, where we want to see tree climbing going. And so maybe that's part of it. The other part is the competition obviously has grown in popularity. We try to be welcoming and open to anyone
coming out to either volunteer, compete, or spectate at the event. And we do absolutely try to make it a lot of fun for everyone. I think what one thing that people are surprised about when they show up is to find out the level and the standards of which we are looking to have the climbers adhere to. I do really set the tone and the expectation that we're looking to see the best possible climbing from all the climbers, and that we're looking to see the climbers reduce exposure or try to mitigate exposure during their climbs, that we are looking for the climbers to use their climbing equipment in proper applications. And we do a thorough inspection of their gear. Our gear inspections are a little different from some other comps in that we're only documenting with photographs, but I've always said, what's better than writing something down? And then I say, taking a picture.
Right.
But
while we're on the topic, just to sort of nitpick a little bit off topic, but was there any specific questions or specific topic concerning gear this year? I know that, you know, year to year, it's typically there's sort of like a hot item that may be in discrepancy or in discussion. Did you see that, any one thing in particular this year at North American Open Masters, or was it a pretty diverse gear inspection with not a lot of focus on one thing or another?
Yeah, not a whole lot of big issues on that this year.
Right.
But real quick, just to backtrack, I need to say thank you to my sister-in-law, Laura, who actually, she played a really big part in helping us get those sponsors. I'd be out at work on the job, and she took it upon herself to help tackle a lot of that stuff. So to fully answer part of your last question, Laura was a big reason that we had such a great turnout with sponsors, because they didn't just magically show up.
It was, right.
You know, us being cool was part of it, maybe.
Right, right.
But the other part was that Laura really worked hard to make sure people, you know, knew what we were doing, and so that's the other part of that is we had some great help. So
yeah.
But on the question with gear, something interesting did come up, and I addressed it. We did allow the use. I told competitors that they were allowed to use the captain hook this year within the event.
Cool.
I did not have one competitor use the captain hook that I'm aware of, either in the preliminary events or in the Masters Challenge. But an interesting thought, our casualty in the aerial rescue event was climbing while on a captain hook. So that was fun.
that is cool. Yeah, that's something that the throwing hook is definitely one of those pieces of gear that is such a useful thing. But I think that it's interesting. It's interesting to see it play out in an aerial rescue event, because it adds a bit of obscurity into the climb, if you will. Yes. It's definitely something that it's like one of those things that you just like a power line or anything else, you have to be really careful around, because if it were to release, then all of a sudden situation can get bad or worse, or like anything aloft, I guess. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the AR event and sort of go into a little bit of detail about how the Captain Hook played out?
Yeah, dude, that event this year was really the gem of our comp. We had Rich Hattier come in, and Rich Hattier was the one who supplied the idea for the Captain Hook. It didn't go down exactly how I had envisioned it, but I would say that it probably played out even better the weekend of. He had the casualty on with a captain hook. The hook was up on a branch above him, and then out at about a I don't know, a 60, 70 degree angle, another 12 feet out at a branch that was that it was hooked on. And then he had the climber on another system attached to his bridge where the climber was anchored to, but the tie-in had broken out. So he was canopy anchored on that rope, and that had broke out. So the climbers had the option to anchor that rope. But in any case, not to get too far ahead of myself, what the climbers didn't know was the scenario. I don't know if you noticed, but in the pictures, there's this big blue tarp that keeps floating around in pictures. But that tarp was a blind, and that blind was to help sequester the aerial rescue event. And we did it. Everybody I know for years has been talking about, man, they should have a sequestered aerial rescue event. How can we do it? And we did a bit of brainstorming, and we just pulled the trigger and did it. We went out, bought this huge tarp from Home Depot, and then I had a graffiti artist come in and paint this really cool tree on it and made it special for the event. His name is Samuel Gosha from out there in Wichita. He's a graffiti artist, and also he competed. He's an arborist as well. And so we had the climbers. I did instruct them this. I said, look, you're going to have to throw in, but other than that, we're not going to tell you what the scenario is. So the victim was responsive. He was up about 25 or 30 feet, and they had to throw in.
Right.
So it really made for a on-your-toes event. They really were kind of throwing it in a pressure cooker, and I feel that the competitors that did the best, TC, were ones that stopped when they entered the ring, asked questions, and really took time to look around.
Right.
They had 12 minutes for the event. So Nick Markley ended up winning, and I did have the privilege of being there on site when he ran it. And he walked in and just knocked it out of the park, stopped, and just asked questions, stood there and looked to figure out what was going on. It was the best AR I've ever seen in my life. And to have sufficient time to do it that way, these guys really put together some good ARs and really made a piece of art out of that. So
that's really it's just really awesome, man, and just so different, cutting edge, and sort of always being on your toes and be able to respond in the moment. I think that's really the fancy of AR, is that, you know, that to be able to critically respond in the moment with little preparation, aside from that of your training, knowing what to do in the moment and utilizing that as your primary tool. Fantastic job. Hats off to that. Is just incredible, and it's such a cool thing. I mean, I can't compliment you enough for how creative of an event it is.
I hope that idea takes off. I really do.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Was, you know, I sort of know that this is this event is young and it's growing very quickly in popularity. Where do you see this event going? What sort of dreams and directions do you have for it?
For Nail Them All Together is the question, right?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. But real quick, I just want to mention, people love that AR, and I got such positive feedback about that, and hopefully soon we'll be starting some type of online chat group or something. I'll add you to it. I want to get people's feedback and discuss where that particular event is going to in the future as well.
But right, right.
Nail Them, that's a great question, man. People they asked me about that up there in Wichita, and I don't have anything to say about that real quick other than this. I'm open to where the community wants to help steer this thing. I'm open to ideas. And honestly, currently still kind of exhausted and didn't have the energy to try to figure out if I wanted to do this twice or maybe three times a year.
Right.
I don't know if we have the support to do it more than once right now.
Right.
You know, but that being said, I could be wrong.
Right.
I think that there's a really the climbers are thirsty right now. I think that a lot of people in the industry are pretty hungry for an event that that brings to the table what this climbing comp is. There's a focus on that there really is a focus on instruction as to what's happening. I think there's more discussion that's happening during the climbs. I am very clear with the climbers as to what our expectations are from them during the events. I'm very clear with the competitors as to what we think that you know, they should be doing during the events, as in how they should be conducting themselves as professionals, as they should be conducting themselves as climbers. You know, as I mentioned, I did tell them to people who are going to do well are climbers that are going to reduce exposure. Those trees didn't have very high tying points, so they really had to work hard to have some good, do some good lanyard work in the trees, and they had to work hard to just tie in above their work if they could, and work that lanyard. So people who did well were very careful about their rope angles and making sure they were lanyard in if they didn't have a good rope angle. So there were some good teachable moments out there.
Is that the is that the message of North American? Do you think that your message is a safer style of climbing, a more unique style of climbing?
Yeah, I think what people, you know, I know when people see the pictures of this comp online, they're going to see fireworks. They're going to see the nighttime open ascent. They'll see the blind. They'll hear about the AR, but they don't hear about all the discussions about all the stuff that they learned necessarily about the lanyard work and all the stuff that I and others were trying to drill into their head this weekend about how to make sure if you move out to a station with your lanyard on, make sure you're working your way back with that on as well. Now, while we are working with these climbers to instruct them how they can do better at these comps, if they take that same level of knowledge and that same instruction back to the job site with them, they're going to be safer climbers as well. And so I do think that we are doing something very particular right now that ISA comps are not. And I'm not saying I absolutely love ISA tree climbing comps, but there is typically this expectation that when climbers show up that they know that they need to know how to do what they're doing. And so often I don't believe they are. And further than that, no one's really there instructing them otherwise. So I figured if nothing else, I can find a lot of cool teachable moments where we can give instruction. And I think we did. And I mean, I felt like some of that's really spreading right now. You're going to see guys go out to the job site this week, I think, and really think twice before they pop that lanyard off.
Right. Right. It's going to
look back at their rope, you know?
Well, I think that, I think it's important that, some of the philosophies or the teachable moments, the lessons learned spills over into the job site, because it is a trade based competition, and it is based on that industrial approach to the athletic aspects of tree care. So I think that, you know, competitions in that sense really have a lot of power to change people's minds about safety, and not only about safety, but about how to creatively be safe in a way that you can both express yourself and also lessen your exposure to any type of dangerous situation. So I think it is really important that that those lessons are taken away and learned from, because I do think that is one of the really big, powerful aspects of competitions, is that they can encourage that safety and that creativity to transpire into the workplace, onto the job site. It's one of the topics that, you know, that always seems to come up, is, you know, getting remotivated and taking that stuff into the workplace and applying it. So I'm so glad that you said that. And I know we've had that conversation before, but I really do think that it's such a vital aspect of the comp scene. And just a really strong characteristic that plays out.
TC, you know, one of the things to piggyback on what you're saying is that climbers might not always see this, but some of the beauty and the art of tree climbing is it's not always that big swing. It's not always, you know, well, the guy that finishes the tree, a 30-minute tree in 20 minutes. It is so often, hey, did you see that guy? He just smashed that station with a beautiful rope angle. Or did you see how he rode that bite? He popped a bite over that branch and rode his line back, you know. And if you can convince her, oh my gosh, did you just see how that guy used his lanyard at that station and how he protected himself? Like, once I started realizing that the beauty and the art within these climbs is not just made up by, not always made up by how well a climber can move, but all of that knowledge that he or her employs within that climb to protect themselves, that really became part of the art of climbing to me. It was, you know, what was all the other aspects outside of speed and movement, which are awesome, but just that full gamut that people don't always know how to learn or understand, you know. So just wanted to put that point out there.
Yeah, I think that's a really just a really something to hang on to, and because I think that any time you can take something that's extracurricular and apply it to how you work and, you know, maybe more importantly, how you make money, how you support yourself or your family or whatever, I think that there is a real motivation, maybe even more so an inspiration in that, because at some points tree work is a grind and it's a difficult thing. And so when you can become inspired off the job site, bring that inspiration onto the job site, keep yourself safe, but not only that, keep yourself motivated and keep yourself productive. It's a win-win. It's just a universal win-win all the way around. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Chris, is there anything you want to say in closing, just about the experience altogether, or anything in particular that you have on your mind?
No, nothing huge. You know, I'd like to say thank you again to all the folks that helped us put the event together and help run the event. It really was a grind. We had even the setup, we really tended to go a little bit longer this year than I did in the past. I try to really get guys to get off the site by 4. This year it seemed like we were on site there every day till 6 or 7, and it partly because I think we were having fun and we really wanted to dial things in. But between Friday and Saturday, I had the judge and techs out there working on Friday until, I mean, the nighttime open ascent was over at like 10 p.m. And then on Saturday, we were out there till 7. So they make for long days because the event, the style of the event, obviously we have 2 events that are 20 minutes long. We have a 12-minute AR. The great thing about it is climbers get a lot of entry time. I guess you could say the bad thing about it is our volunteers get the hell worked out of them. So my hat's really off to them. We really, this year we tried to really hook them up with prizes and stuff as much as we did the climbers, because I think the our community needs to know this, that they're the fact that they're there and they're helping us is every bit as important as the I guess you might say the necessity or the desire for the climbers to compete, you know. So everybody's part plays a big part in all that we're doing. So that's what I've had to say about that. I'm stoked about where the event is going. I'm stoked that people are so happy with you know, the style of the event, and we just got some really good feedback. And yeah, really, and I feel like we're in a good place, and happy about it.
Chris, that's awesome, man. Yeah, congrats on another successful North American Open Masters. I see really great things coming from this competition. I'm bummed that I couldn't be there to witness it firsthand, because I know that's the, you know, I know you can see things on social media, but that does not even hold a candle to being there and being in the moment and with all of the, or with some of the best people in the industry, no doubt. Congrats to, or good work to all of your volunteers, everyone that helped. And again, thanks for calling in and keeping us in the loop about this. I love having you. You're a great guest and a great friend, and I always look forward to our conversations and being able to spend some time together.
Thanks, TC, and thank you for the tanks, bro. Everybody loved them. Just wanted to let you know.
Oh, dude.
All of our volunteers got a tank, and myself included. So
that's so awesome.
I'm a lot more. Soon,
yeah.
So,
hey, listen, man. I'm like I said, it's the absolute least I could do, and any way I could show my support for you, man. You know I would. Hey, I'm gonna get this thing edited up and get it up on the website so we can share it and let everybody listen in on some of this great feedback, Chris. I really appreciate it, bro.
Cool. Thanks, TC.
Hey, have a great night. Tell Aaron I said the same.
Will do, bro. Thanks.
All right, peace.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in for another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. Please follow along at our website, www.thearblife.com. Sign up for an email subscription on the lower right-hand corner of the page. We appreciate your support. This is The Arb Life, for arborists to be inspired.